I'm going to try something again. I'm going to try to use the timer on my phone. All right. It's supposed to start. It won't do it. Queer as human, to lose your mind requires a computer. I have lost my mind several times this week already because of computers. Daniel 12:4. I'm always interested in some of the songs we sing because you go through a song and think about what it's really saying. It really is a mini sermonette in and of itself. So pay attention to the songs that we have. We turn to Daniel 12:4. I want to talk about a subject that has always fascinated me, and that subject is science. When I was young, I used to get the magazines Popular Science and Popular Mechanics and anything else I could get my hands on to read to whatever was going on in the world. And now it seems to be that science is what we can learn and understand is growing at such a tremendous rate. Daniel 12:4 says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." This prophecy is being fulfilled all around us. How do we know that we're living in the time of the end? I want to read you something from an article by David Russell Schilling. It says, "Buckminster Fuller created the knowledge doubling curve. He noticed that until 1900, human knowledge doubled approximately every century. By the end of World War II, knowledge was doubling every 25 years. Today, things are not as simple, as different types of knowledge have different rates of growth. For example, nanotechnology knowledge is doubling every 2 years, and clinical knowledge every 18 months. But on average, knowledge is doubling every 13 months. According to IBM, the build-out of the Internet of Things will lead to the doubling of knowledge every 12 hours. End of quote. I feel sorry for you young people. You guys can become old fogies in a day. But there's a problem with this. Science can awe us with amazing discoveries. And I am in awe of it because, frankly, I'm fascinated by science and the new things that are coming. But it's very hard to keep track of everything because things change so fast. We need to take a closer look. Knowledge may get to the point where it doubles every 12 hours, but accessing this data and actually using it is another story entirely. But there is no denying that science is advancing at an ever-increasing rate. Joel 3:10. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. In December 17, 1903, the Wright brothers made their first flight. A lot of people think that the Wright brothers were the first one to fly an aircraft, but they weren't. Although not the first to build or fly experimental aircraft, the Wright brothers were the first to invent aircraft controls that made fixed-wing power flight possible. Less than 11 years later, men were killing people in the air and from the air in World War I. The first flat-top aircraft carrier was built in 1922, 19 years later. Interestingly, it was built for the Imperial Japanese Navy. The United States was the fourth nation to build an aircraft carrier. And to give you a warm and fuzzy feeling, is China now has an operational aircraft carrier. Does that just make you feel great? You know? 66 years after the Wright brothers' flight, on July 21st, 1969, a man walked on the moon. Now people are making plans to create a human colony on Mars. Joel 3:10 says, "Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. My turn with Isaiah 2:4. This well describes the world we live in. People are living in poverty while governments spend multi-billions of dollars on weapons. What does God promise us in contrast? 1,000 years of peace. Isaiah 2:4. God changes everything around, turns the world upside down. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. 1,000 years of peace. Mr. Dick at the Feast of Tabernacles pointed out that from the time when the army comes against the unwalled cities of Israel to the time when Satan's released at the end of the millennium, the world will have a period of 1,000 years with no war. I don't think we have a hard time even imagining a world like that. Science gives us the ability to build swords or plowshares. God gives us the wisdom to choose plowshares. There's no doubt that science has been a blessing to everyone in this room. Just think about electricity for a moment. We use it in so many ways, we tend to forget it. The microphone that we're using so that you can hear me. The sound system we have. The video broadcast. The power that lights the lights in this room. Believe it or not, it even powers the elevator we come up with, even if it is so slow. A lot of electricity, we'd be in here with candles. And we'd have to walk up the stairs. Computers would not be available without electricity. Even this laptop, I mean, has to be charged at home before we can actually bring it. Cars, you can't build a car without electricity. Electricity powers the gas pumps. The list is endless. It has transformed the society that we live in. And there's nothing wrong with electricity or science. But only God can give us the wisdom to use it wisely. Ecclesiastes 3:2. Let's talk a little bit about medicine. My hat's off to a German researcher, Alfred Einhorn. How many of you ever heard of him? He's the one that came up with Novocaine. If you ever had a root canal or something like that, you appreciate this man. But it's interesting that, because I looked it up, I didn't really realize it. Before dentists used cocaine. And Novocaine comes from a Latin word novus, meaning new, plus cocaine. Novocaine means the new cocaine. That'll give you a warm, fuzzy feeling also. Even so, I mean, I don't... Next time I go to the dentist, he wants to do any drilling, give me the Novocaine, okay? Can science help us to live longer? Of course. Kirk Douglas, the actor, just turned 100 years old. If you ever had pneumonia, like I've had twice, you deeply appreciate what medicine can do for you. The fact that they can give you something, actually help you to breathe, the oxygen, the stuff, the antibiotics. It's not a fun process to go through. And you appreciate our advances in, because oftentimes in the past, people that got it simply died. One of my friends from school, way back in high school, in grade school really, all the way through, developed Hodgkin's disease. At that time, it was almost always fatal. He is still alive today thanks to medical science. Science gave him a much longer life, and that's great. But it cannot overcome one law. Ecclesiastes 3:2 says, there is a time to be born and a time to die. We have a limited lifespan in this physical lifetime. It's really struck home to me this week because my cousin who is the daughter of my dad's twin brother, died this last week. She's almost exactly 1 year older than I am. Brought back a lot of memories, you know, thinking back over the years. But what does God give us? A chance to be resurrected in a body that will be pain-free, to live forever in a world filled with peace. But we see we have to keep these things in perspective, because there's nothing that man does that God didn't put the ability there in the first place. Whether we choose to do it or what we choose is up to us, obviously. But someone said something years ago that has always stuck in my mind in a sermon. He said, the fear of doctors is not the same thing as faith in God. They're not necessarily the same thing. How about astronomy? Psalm 147. I am fascinated with the advances in astronomy. It has revealed a universe that is incomprehensibly large. And that is, they estimate, because nobody's gone out there and counted them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that there is 100 billion stars in our galaxy alone. I'm not going to go out there and count them to prove them wrong. There's only 99 billion of them. Get the tape back. But there are billions of galaxies in the universe. How many stars exist? No human knows, or for that matter, can know. Psalm 147:4 says, God counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. I don't have a hard time understanding a mind that is that great. Not only is he great enough to create all these, how many hundreds and hundreds of billions of stars, he knows each one of them individually. So does he have any trouble keeping track of the humans? There's only 7 billion people on the face of the earth. So he wouldn't have any trouble keeping track of us. Don't worry, you know, we think, sometimes I think people think that, you know, they can, God is so busy, they can go do something, and God, as long as the church doesn't know, God doesn't know. But God knows everything that we do. So you got a problem, you might as well confess it to God, because he already knows. Now, I've noticed one thing about over the years is that ignoring a problem will not make it go away. You need to face your problems, and for better or for worse, hopefully for the better. What about modern communications? Cell phones have transformed the world. Instant communication is a mixed blessing. You know, I used to actually go around town, all the places, I didn't have a phone with me. You know, now I leave my phone at home, and I think, you know, like leaving your wallet at home. And it's just this thing that we got. I mean, somebody sends you a text message. So, it'll wait. Most of the time I get a text message and everything, and to find out that somebody's got my number and they're advertising something. And this time of year it really drives me crazy, because everywhere I go, you know, I look on my, I try to get everything I am in my spam folder. You know, I can get 40, 50 spam messages a day, and I keep going, please unsubscribe me. But there are more of those out there that I can keep up with, frankly. And how they get my name or our number. And there's supposed to be a hard time of year, because people are spending all this money on Christmas presents. We got a lot of people out here, contractors, because looking for work. I got calls, robocalls, from 3 contractors looking for work within 1 hour one day this week. I keep getting them because they're trying to drum up business. They need it, you know, but people are spending their money on other things. And we'll never do away with Christmas. You see all the things about Christianity. We don't want prayers in school. But do you hear them talking about doing away with Christmas? You know why? He was covered in his sermonette. Basically, it's greed. If they didn't have Christmas and the people buying stuff or other people on credit or any other way, a lot of business would flat go under. They would not be able to maintain themselves financially. It's being driven that way. It's unfortunate. But instant communication is a very mixed blessing. It has brought terrorism to our doorstep. One reason terrorism is such a great weapon is that any acts are reported around the world almost instantaneously. A massacre at a Coptic church in Egypt is a message to the entire Western world because it goes around instantaneously. Even a small terrorist attack can get them millions of dollars worth of free publicity. And that's what they want, because it spreads terror. It spreads fear. Sometimes you're wondering, you know, is there any place safe where I can go? When actually, statistically, you know, you're not much danger yet of being killed in a terrorist attack inside the United States. That may change in the future. Matthew 24:14 tells us, "And this gospel will be preached in all the world as a witness, in all the nations, and then the end shall come." We can do this now, a possibility, through communications, through the television program, through the internet, through all these various things that we have. I think the programs that we have beyond today keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. But nobody's flocking in the doors, are they? We hope that will come. But we seem to be steady, you know. Every year we seem to replace the people that die. As we get an older church, our membership seems to be fairly steady. Maybe a slight increase. We look forward to the time when, frankly, well, we can see more and more people coming to the church. But it's not yet. We know that Christ coming, the great tribulation, the great multitude is going to come out of that great tribulation. But we're not in the great tribulation yet. We're in fairly easy time. I know we complain a lot about the prices, about this and that. But things could be a whole lot worse. Can you imagine what it's like to be a member of the Church of God living during the Middle Ages, during the plague, when half and two-thirds of a village would die virtually overnight? They lived in a very tough time. Worse times are coming, but we're not there by any stretch of the imagination. So should we just sit back complacent? No. Our own history has shown that many people have left the church. Most of it had done what was talked about, deception. I know no one that was driven out of the church because of persecution, personally. Most of them just turned around and walked out the door. But God, it's interesting, because he took a book that was put together by manuscript, you know, been going on for, that ended, what, 1900 years ago, was started being written. We're not quite sure when. Exactly. Moses wrote a lot at the beginning, but some people think the book of Job predates even that. So, but who knows? But right now, God is inspired. Listen, the number of languages that have at least Bible portions translated into their language, 1,010 different languages. Number of languages in the New, with just the New Testament, 1,294. Number of languages with the entire Bible translated into their language, 513 different languages. The total population is 7 billion people. Of that, over 6.5 billion can read the Bible in their own language. All the information is out there. A lot of it's gathering dust on people's tables or something like that. When I was acting, I'm not sure it's true anymore, but when I was growing up, almost everybody had a Bible on the table, you know, in the front room and everything. They usually were worn on the outside and super clean on the inside, because very few people actually read it. But they did believe in the basic principles. My father, who was born in 1910 and everything, grew up during the Depression, everything, lived during the Depression, was a man whose word was his bond. People back then kept their word, because that's what people did. There are no little white lies here. You didn't insult somebody's honor, so to speak. He ran a service station. He was scrupulously honest. I know one time when Phelps Dodge, you're growing up in a town that relies totally on one thing. In our case, it was the copper mine. And they went out on strike for 6 months. And my father carried everybody on credit until, you know, if they could get paid again, because nobody had any money. Kind of hard to do, because you had to pay for the gas that you were selling the people to on credit, but they did it. But with a very, very few exceptions, all those people, when they got the jobs back, came in and eventually repaid all their credit. That's just what people did back then. But the world has come to a point where many people believe science can solve all of our problems. But can it really? Paul in Romans gives the church a warning about the world. Do we think this applies to our age or only to ancient people long dead? After all, we are too smart to fall for Satan's tricks. Romans 1:25. They exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Psalm 31:3. People do not worship science directly, but it does affect how we think. Whether we like it or not, it affects the way we look at things. Physical possessions can become the most important thing to us. We're constantly bombarded on advertisements and everything, that, especially this time of year, that you need this thing. Oh, make your Christmas great. Buy your wife a new BMW. Another one says, oh, you buy a new car. You don't have to make a payment for 5 months. Okay, it's going to just take you 5 months longer to pay it off. That's all, because, you know, it's very nice, but they want to sell things. They try to convince you that you need these things, when all in all, really, we really don't. You know, a lot of things they try to sell us. But it's hard, because it is very tempting, because some of these new things they come up with are very, very tempting. Let's put it that way. I don't even know what this computer does, let alone one that's five times as fast with a... And some of them are. Some of the speed of these things are amazing. I had a 2001 Mitsubishi for years. That thing had more computing power on it than Apollo 13 did. That's amazing. That's how much things have changed over the years. But there is a problem. I want to quote to you from Michael Crichton from the book Jurassic Park. Some of you have seen the movie Jurassic Park. Okay. Well, he wrote a book also, and there's a lot of things in there that he gives his viewpoint, a number of things in the book. This is, science has attained so much power that its practical limits have become apparent. Largely through science, billions of us live in a small world, densely packed and intercommunicating. But science cannot help us decide what to do with that world or how to live. Science can make a nuclear reactor, but it cannot tell us not to build it. Science can make pesticides, but God does not tell us not to use it. And our world starts to become polluted in fundamental ways, air and water and land, because of ungovernable science, end of quote. But if science can't lead us to make the right decisions, who can? Psalm 31:3. For you, God, are my rock and fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. My turn to John 16:13. Since Adam and Eve, man has been proving repeatedly that by himself he cannot find the way to peace. Study history and is shaped by violent events. Who do you remember in the history books? Who do we think? The conquerors, Alexander the Great, Napoleon, Frederick the Great. But what about us? Do we really expect God to lead and guide us? The leaders of this country don't. Trump might be successful as president if he called a national day of prayer. If he truly sought or seeks out God's will, what do you think the chances of that happening are? One of the qualities that the political candidates in the last presidential election lacked is humility. Humility is something that most humans lack, and scientists are human. Unfortunately, so are we. The current world is the result of that reasoning. I want to read to you John 16:13, the New Living Translation, because it tells us something interesting. When the Spirit of truth comes, it will guide you into all truth. We cannot find the truth of God on our own. God must lead us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not speak its own, but will tell you what it has heard. The Holy Spirit is the instrument that God uses to teach His chosen people. What is going to make the wonderful world tomorrow so different? Because it's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It will tell you about the future. It will bring me glory by telling you whatever it receives from me. You know, there is a unity and a togetherness in the Godhead between God and Jesus Christ and everything that defies human imagination. They're in total agreement. We're trying to bring our minds together in total agreement with Jesus Christ and God into unity. And Satan is doing whatever he can to separate us. And I'm talking about the people of God. That's what he wants to do. Satan is the author of confusion. God isn't. Satan is the author of division. God isn't. Ezekiel 37:1. Let us say for a moment that evolution is true and that man will reach the stars. What will that give us? Star Wars is reality? Is that the future that you want for yourself and for your children? Remember the first Star Wars? At the beginning, they destroyed an entire planet and all its inhabitants without a second thought. That's not the future that we want. Instead of polluting our own planet, we can advance enough to pollute a galaxy. What about the billions of people that have lived since the dawn of the human race? Do you think about that? No matter how advanced we come scientifically, it is of no use to the tens of billions already dead. They have no future. If evolution is true. Okay? But God has a different idea. Ezekiel 37:1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in, or another translation, by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in an open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Some of these people had been dead for thousands of years. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Because only God knows, because only he can actually make it happen. Again he said to me, prophesy or speak to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. At the great white throne judgment, the last great day, okay, people that have died will be resurrected and will actually hear the word of the Lord. They may have missed it in this lifetime, but there will come a time when they will actually hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I shall put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then, and only then, you shall know that I am the Lord. So I spoke, I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. There is nothing that mankind can come up with that can make this happen. God can. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. This is literally what we might say was a great big huge number of corpses. But God turns everything on its head. Instead of a corpse, as we have, when somebody dies, will slowly decay. God is going to do exactly the opposite. Also say to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on those slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived. They stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. This is a vision of a future event. This is not a motion picture, a prophet is talking about what might happen. And you read this, there's nothing vague about this. It's very plain exactly what it's saying. What the problem is, human beings can't believe it. But God says, this is what I'm going to do. Everything Satan has done to keep human beings from knowing the ways of God, God is going to change and destroy all Satan's works. He is going to be able to reach every single human being that has ever walked on the face of the earth. And he's going to be able to do that because he knows who they were, when they lived, and exactly what they did. If he had had the names of the stars, he knows all, and we don't know how many people that have ever lived. Because all the estimates is based on modern science, and they don't believe in the flood. How many people existed before the flood? God says these people lived over 900 years, a lot of them. What was the population then when the flood came? Yeah. You want to see the power of God? You can't find hardly any traces at all of that civilization. When he wipes something out. But when he resurrects it, he's going to resurrect it. Now, do you believe me? Are you willing to listen? Do you understand why Noah spent 100 years building that ark? There was a time when they could have repented, but nobody did. You know, it does not matter what people believe. God will not say, you are an atheist, so I am not going to resurrect you. He's going to resurrect them. And an atheist is resurrected. Jesus Christ is ruling out of Jerusalem. He's surrounded by spirit beings. Do you think he's going to stay an atheist very long? Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, for I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, not just the human spirit, God's spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. No matter how advanced we come scientifically, it is of no use to tens of billions that have already died. Matthew 10:29. Like an evolution, the people that already died, it's like waving goodbye in your rearview mirror. We have advanced to the next level, but you, your families, and your ancestors are irrelevant. Let me give you an example of how God's plan is superior to anything man can come up with. The subject of reparations comes up fairly often. This is payments to blacks because their ancestors were slaves. But only God can resurrect the actual slaves and make it right for them. Both those that lived and died in ancient Israel before the Exodus and those from our own past. Talking about all the downtrodden people that lived down through the ages. Right now on this earth, the number of hundreds of millions of people that are barely existing is just blows your mind. There's estimated over 300 million people in China alone, and they're still building aircraft carriers and stuff like that instead of trying to help their people. How valuable are individual humans in God's lives, our lives, and the lives of everyone that has ever lived? Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. With me, that gets easier every year. Do not fear, therefore, for you are more valuable than many sparrows. Psalm 147. Let's go back and think a little bit about what we're talking about. Is there anything basically wrong with science? My comment is no. Astronomy built the Hubble telescope, but God did not say, wow, I did not know all those stars were out there. God not only created the physical universe, he also created the basic laws that govern it. We refer to the laws of God. Man refers to the laws of science. Science is a great method of studying God's creation. It should bring you closer to God. It should put you in awe of God. And heaven knows what's going to happen between now and when Christ comes back. How much more knowledge we're going to be able to gain and understand. But all it's going to show us is how great a God we have. I don't think any of us will be. I look forward to the time when I'm resurrected as a spirit being or the mind capable of comprehending some of these things. I look forward to the wonderful world tomorrow when all you have to learn is one language and the entire world speaks it. It's going to be too bad for those people who can speak five or seven languages, because they're just going to be down to one. You know? I almost rubbed my hands with glee over that thought. You know? Some people have talent in learning foreign languages. I do not. That's just not one of my fortes. But science did not create any of that creation. Man's greatest accomplishment has only revealed the might of God. Let me reread you the quote from Michael Crichton. But science cannot help us decide what to do with that world or how to live. Science can make a nuclear reactor, but cannot tell us not to build it. Science cannot make pesticide. Can make pesticide, but cannot tell us not to use it. And the world starts to seem polluted in fundamental ways. Air, water, and land, because of ungovernable science. Frankly, I think I don't look at it as being ungovernable science. It's man that's ungovernable. Mankind is following the path of Adam and Eve, and the result is disastrous. But I think you can study the creation out here, and you do it with the mind of God, and you would help mankind to be better, to progress. We cannot decide, or man cannot decide, to jump off a building and say, today I am canceling the law of gravity. The results will be the same. Splat. When we violate God's commandments, the result is the same. Splat. The difference, of course, is that the splat from gravity happens immediately. The splat from violating the commandments of God takes longer, but is as inevitable. As a result, we have this world out here, violent and deeply divided. At one time, this country was one of the most respected countries in the world. Increasingly, immigrants are coming here into this country wanting to share our wealth, but they no longer want our culture, which they see is increasingly evil. There was a time, here I got it. 60% of the Muslims in England would vote for Sharia law. You know, the world looks at us, especially the Muslims, as one of the greatest mass murderers in history. We have killed over 50 billion of our own unborn children. And that's the way they see us. They say, why should we want any part of your culture at all? As far as they're concerned, we're going the opposite way of what they believe completely. They want the prosperity, but they don't respect what we believe anymore. And at one time, like I said, the words of Thomas Jefferson, Monroe, Washington, Abraham Lincoln, these are held up for the world as a whole. It isn't anymore. They don't care what we think. What is the answer to this world's problems? Rulers with a character or mind of Jesus Christ. That's what we're trying to develop. We're supposed to be the solution to these people, to this world's problems. No matter what we do, from being a physicist to an engineer to a ditch digger, whatever we do, we have to do it in a Christian manner, with the mind of Christ, to think about how he would do things and do it that way. Because when everything comes and said and done, the only thing we're taking with us after we die is the character that we have. We have godly character, that we be part of the solution when Jesus Christ comes back. If we don't have godly character, we won't have to worry about the resurrection. Not the first, anyway. We need to forget, never forget, and as covered in the sermon also pointed this out, that this is still Satan's world, and he is a master deceiver. We need God's help in discerning evil, because the world is full of it. We talked about it at the very beginning of this sermon, about how rapidly knowledge is growing in the world. Many young people think older people are out of date and do not understand the people, the problems they face. And they're probably true. The problems I faced in school were just as dangerous in many ways. I grew up in the specter of atomic war and with the Soviet Union. People were building bomb shelters in their basements. Children were taught what to do in case of nuclear attack. And suddenly realized that it wouldn't do any good anyway. So they stopped doing it. I grew up in southern Arizona, way away from anything, any major cities of population. Tucson is 100 miles away. And I told you about flying into the Bisbee Douglas International Airport. And they landed and they taxied. I thought we were driving from Tucson to Bisbee, to be perfectly truthful. They come to this little shack in the middle thing, and they let us off the plane. I found out later that that's an alternate SAC base and is a primary nuclear target in case of war. Yeah. So much for being safe out in the middle of boondocks, right? So, you know, nothing is ever quite like it seemed. But that's the reality of the world we live in. The world you live in now, the thing is equally as dangerous as it is now. But when we talk about this, as many young people, let me repeat what I said before, think older people are out of date and do not understand the problems they face. But you're going to have, the young people are going to have the same problems in spades. Will any future parent, yourself included, be able to keep up the advancements that their children will take for granted? Technology is changing so rapidly that Satan is very subtly creating distances between children and parents. And it's very dangerous. We have to work hard to overcome these things. But it can be done, but only if you keep God's eternal principles in mind and cry out for his help. We also need to expand our mental and spiritual horizons. And I told you before, the world is not concerned about people that have died beyond their immediate ancestors. God not only knows about these unknown people, but he knows them for name. Tracing our ancestry has become quite popular. There are TV shows where famous people trace their accent on their ancestry. But we have to think in perspective of tens of billions of people. I've always admired some of the people from America's history. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Abigail Adams, Helen Keller, Abraham Lincoln, to name a few. Do we truly realize how much God is going to turn things upside down? I look forward to the time when these people can become our spiritual descendants. Yeah, our spiritual descendants. Think about that for a while. Kind of blows your mind when you think about what God has planned. When these men are resurrected, we will be 1,000 years older than them in physical terms. But what does it mean to us to be able to grow for 1,000 years as spirit beings? I think it is very difficult, maybe even impossible, for us to understand what God is offering. What God does, but what does all this mean to us? When we pray, do we see God through the lenses of science? Yeah, I meant that. Do we see God through the lens of science? Astronomy gives us a glimpse of how large the universe. There is no problem that we have that the God that created the universe cannot help us with. The only thing holding us back is our own doubts, our own ability to put limitations on God. There's nothing that God cannot help us with in His own way, in His own time, but always with our best interest in mind. Einstein came up with what is probably the most best-known equation in the world, E equals mc squared. But the fruits of that also gives us a glimpse into how powerful our God is. You know, it's interesting to note that Einstein came up with this thing. Maybe even went to Roosevelt, beginning World War II, and warned about the potential here. So we spent billions of dollars developing the atomic bomb. But until about 1940, if I know the date, when they set one off in the desert in New Mexico, nobody knew if the thing was going to work or not. And they were blown apart. Their minds were blown about how powerful that explosion really was. But that shows the power that God has. See? You look through science and everything, and you can understand that God that created all these things is an enormous being with an intellect far beyond what we can possibly grasp, with more power than we can comprehend. And He says, I want to help you if you will just do things My way. And we look at God and say, well, despite you doing all those things, God, I think I got a better way. I want to decide for myself what is right and wrong. Hopefully we're way past that stage and we really know that God, or as I said, I believe, Father really does know best. Stephen Hawking has made an interesting observation. Stephen Hawking, as a quote, has argued that computer viruses should be considered a new form of life, and has stated that maybe it says something about human nature that the only form of life we have created so far is purely destructive. Talk about creating life in our own image. Stephen Hawking has also said that because he believes in evolution, that out there may be truly alien civilizations, but that we should avoid them. Contacting them, not seek them out, not trying to listen to SETI thing, because they might come, and like some bad science fiction movie, try to rob and use the world's resources for their own ends. And he points out Columbus brought Europe to the Americas. Didn't turn out too well for the Indians, did it? Well, he thinks the same thing may happen to us. He doesn't know that this world is already being controlled by someone that you could say is an alien. Satan the devil. And they don't even know he exists. Like I said, it's like the plot from a bad B movie. Science has always fascinated me. It has all my life. I don't think there is nothing, any God about science. In fact, I think exactly the opposite. I think that science is a tool that we can use for studying God, to see the power of His Godhead, to give us the faith that He is with us every step of the way, that when everything is said and done, God is going to make things right.